see.
You want to be able to see. Okay. Can we do a countdown then? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Take a deep breath. 2, 1, ready. Yeah, I know. That's all Van's fault, huh? Those of you who don't know Van has been connected to this ministry for a number of years. That was sovereignly done by the Lord. And he is, let's say, one of a kind. How's that? One of a kind. So would you extend your hands towards him, please? Father, we want to bless this man tonight, and we ask that you would just release the word that you have prepared in his heart. And any additions, Holy Spirit, that you want to do, just have your way with him tonight.
Let every word be of you, Lord.
Amen.
No hindrances, no soulish demands upon your spirit. Hallelujah. You know, just reading. I like to, whenever somebody gives one of those, you know, good nuggets, you say, gosh, that was good. Well, I started years ago, actually back in 1999, writing them down, you know. Sometimes I put the person, but sometimes I didn't. But the first one that I ever wrote down, and it's food to live by, I believe. It was on July 28th of 99 it says, every good lesson starts with a mistake. We're not teaching right now. I'm just kind of sharing some of my little tidbits. I don't think I've ever done this, but it's not what you will do for God, it is who you will be for God. Only an empty vessel can be filled to the fullness. We want to go into the fullness? Remember, only an empty vessel. Because if there's part of you, it's not the fullness of God. Even if God has chosen you, it will take a giant coming against you to manifest you. And he was teaching on David and Goliath. That you may not want to face the giant, but it may be the only way that you establish faith with the Lord to face more giants. Choose life, and you will get and see only life. Pursue God habits, things that increase the anointing, and the anointing will increase. Who is this? That wasn't that good. 11:25. Sozo is saved. It is also the same word for healing. Therefore, be healed. To be healed is to be saved from sickness. You got to chew on that one, but it's good. This is good. Covenant promises will always be tested. And that testing produces provision. So, you get a word, you can guarantee that it's going to be tested. Another way to say it is the way that brother up in New York, who's got the church up there, has the newsletter.
Pastor Jay, I am.
See, I'm too old in this now. I'm thinking back.
Wilkerson?
David.
I was at David's church one time, and he gave a teaching that was so good. And basically, he showed where every single promise given to the men and women of God throughout the Bible had to die first before it could be birthed. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, Jacob or Joseph, particularly Joseph. You know, it didn't matter that it was Abraham who, you know, Sarah's womb had died. So it's in those, you know, it's right when you think it's over that it's begun. So don't give up. We used to have old Pentecostal songs saying, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Amen. Don't give up. God is still on the throne, but not in my singing, obviously. If we will build Him a house of devotion, He will build us a house of ministry. We feed on the Lord that others may feed on us. Hope we taste good. It's not what we say that affects others, it's who we are. A lot of people have the Lord, but the Lord does not have many people. So, just a little insight to my treasure chest of nuggets. Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize for this morning. I was indeed just found out my sugar was 400 and something. So, I was not clicking on all cylinders. And had a lot to say, but it just couldn't come forward. So we pray that we get a double portion tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, this morning was that good, and you were on all of your cylinders. I can't wait.
Bless your heart. Okay. Now, one of the most difficult things that I face, and it is not convincing people that my understanding of the book of Revelation is the understanding. That's not at all, because I don't even, you know, either the Holy Spirit tells you that or not. So I don't even worry about that. But what I do have a difficulty with is getting people who God has already chosen. See, you didn't choose Him. He chose you, according to the Scripture, to get you to a place that you understand that. And so if you've been chosen, then you need to move into that place. And there is a distinction. I'm sorry, this isn't all, you know, Christian stew here. I mean, you just don't throw everybody. And there is a distinction between those Christians who have not manifest Christ in their life and those who have enthroned Him, and He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords in their life, and He is active in directing them into places where all the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, the difficulty I have is I realize I can't do anything about, but I can, like I tried to do earlier, to encourage that you will be the angels of God. You messengers, the holy messengers, you will be them. You can't, I know you may look at your life now and say, I don't. But when God does something, it's miraculous in and of itself. And He's already told us what He's going to do. Let me show you some scripture here. Because I think that we can parallel some of our walk now. 144,000 is basically the latter day disciples. You know, and I think we can look at the previous disciples and get some idea of what relationship is as an apostle. you know, and a disciple. He says to him over in, this is in Matthew, and he just got through, you know, talking about the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold, which I keep telling you is the level of glory, is the weight of glory that is obtained that we will walk in eternity. He says this, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not." This is a God thing. I believe you're here because God brought you here, and I believe the bringing of you here is because He knows that He's chosen you. And He's trying to open your ears so that you can hear that. You can hear this call, this clarion call. Oh, that was, I'm sorry, that was Matthew 13, 9 through 11. But now listen to this. Think of it in terms of the elect. Think of it in terms of what God is doing through His manifest sons, those who will manifest the Son. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance." And this isn't material things, because he just got through talking about ears to hear. "But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." And it goes on. That was the greatest revelation to teach me that I don't go try to convince people. That either they have been called, either the circumstances, God can work through all of those things. But when He does, He's telling us that you got, the kingdom revelation, the desire for Him, all of those things, He's going to add to. So it's like everything that you pursue in Him, He doubles back to you. And those who think that they're hiding their little nugget and waiting for the rapture or for heaven, you know, what has He said? He says He takes it away. Remember in Revelation where He says, "He that endureth until the end shall not have their name blotted out of the book of life." I don't fully know what that means, but it doesn't sound very good. Question? Comment? Hey, as long as you're civil about it, don't talk about my mama, then you can say anything you want to. Or my wife. Go ahead. Anybody, you got anything? Let me ask a question then. How many of you sitting here do believe that you are part of what God is about to do in this world? Okay, cool. Now, since you believe that, the good news is all you've got to do is pursue Him. You don't have to manufacture. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to read books. You don't have to. What you got to do is walk through the life experience that He's going to use to chip away all the stuff that is not of Him. So you will be counted. The good news is, since you've raised your hand, you will be counted worthy to suffer. And I reckon that the tribulation in this current time is not going to be worthy to compare to the glory that shall be revealed in you. So, you know, in my case, my cup runneth over. But it worked to work. I can't see beyond today. I mean, it's just because he wrecks it, you know. It's his ways are not my ways, so it's kind of silly. And he even says at one point, he says, and you, I'm sure you remember the scriptures, he says, he's talking about going into this town and doing commerce or into that town tomorrow. He says, take no thought of tomorrow, for sufficient is the evil thereof. Do you realize that we cause our unbelief and negative faith cause more problems for us than anything that Satan could ever do? Or when we consider, when we begin to believe the lies. And see, that's the only weapon Satan has against the elect. The only one. If he can convince you that you're not, or that this is silliness, or any of the things that, as the father of lies, he does. If he can do that, he can pull you out of the fray. But I'm here to say that I really don't believe that he can do it. I believe some do walk away, but God has a way of bringing them back. My son-in-law just was in, he walked away. 3 weeks later, he's in a terrible motorcycle accident and in traction, basically. And now, even though he left my daughter, now he's back there and she's having a nurse meet him, and now he's, you know, forgive me, and, you know. It didn't take long for him, you know. It was quite a quick turnaround. Okay, so if you don't have anything, let me, I jumped into some deep the other day, and I realized, you know, I don't think I really laid a good foundation. So I'm sure some people were kind of like, you know, yeah, it sounds good, but I just don't see the foundation. Well, I want to get to the foundation. I want you to have a firm foundation of Christ in you. Because the distinction, when he said it is been chosen of you to hear, I think that distinction clearly was those who were operating in the Spirit of Christ. Because Christ could see Christ. Remember, well, let's read it. And if anybody can figure out the answer to this, then you're doing better than most scholars. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I'm over in John chapter 15. Okay. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Kind of scary. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So it's almost in conjunction with the scripture we just read. They that have, you know, will be given more. And those that have not, who look at this as just silliness, he says, they'll just pull it away. But that's not what I wanted to do. Here's where I wanted us to go. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to. In other words, you're saved. You really need to understand how to move on into a place where what I want you to do, you can be in agreement with. Because if you're not in agreement with it, it doesn't flow. I mean, God is not going to use you to raise someone from the dead unless you feel that this is what he wants. If you can't believe that, then your negative faith just blocks what God wants to do. And that's the rules He set up. Why? So that He's showing us our own worth. That we are the keys. And that if we'll suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Okay, now here it is. Do it in the right order. Verse 2, again. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Okay? So, you're talking Christian, right? So they're a Christian. But the designation here is they are in Him. They are in Him. You know, circumstances happen and they accepted Him as their Savior. So they're in the family. They've taken the name. They've been adopted into the family. But check this out. And but he says, you know, we're gonna have some dealings here if you don't pursue what I want you to pursue. And what is that? Abide in me and, covenant word, I in you. Isn't that interesting? He gives a distinction between abiding in Him and Him abiding in us. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There's your distinction in the mature and the immature. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth. Well, that's abideth not in him. We won't go there. But the mystery of godliness that was given to Paul was this. It wasn't that Jesus was just the sacrificial lamb. It was Christ wanted and demanded to live within us. This wasn't just getting saved. It was getting transformed. And so, I mean, in Colossians he says this: the mystery, the great mystery is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why would he call that a great mystery at that time? Because they had no concept of that. They had no concept of that. They were being told that they didn't have to just, you know, up to this point, they didn't really have to participate. You know, it was the priest would do this or they'd bring up the sacrifice. There was no real sense of internal workings. But now they're being told that Jesus wants to live in them. They had never heard that. That had never been. As a matter of fact, it was so contrary that when Paul went up to Jerusalem to share it with James and Peter, I don't think he got a good reaction, because his response was to leave there, and it says that his face was not seen there or in that area again for 11 years. So he went up to Tarsus. And something happened, though. I mean, everybody must have been talking about this crazy idea that Paul has, that Christ dwell in you, even in a Gentile. So the big, I don't know if you know the story, but the big revival took off at Antioch. The Jerusalem church wanted to know, why is this happening? Well, they got word down that Christ was being manifest in heathens. You know, in... Yeah. So they sent Barnabas. Barnabas went up there, and immediately Barnabas knew, this is what Paul was talking about. Here it is. They are being transformed. God is no respecter. And they literally are. And Of course, that's where the whole story was, that they brought back John Mark. Was it John Mark? But they brought him back to Jerusalem, uncircumcised. But no one could deny, apparently no one could deny that he was walking in Christ. So they just had to see it. I mean, they had to see that an uncircumcised even could walk in the Spirit. And of course, that's what began the whole mystery into reality. And so with that kind of a mystery in hand, that changed everything. Now it's not just about getting people saved. It's about bringing them into relationship with Jesus, because that's the only way that He'll dwell in us. Questions?
How do you do that?
You know, that's a good question. I am so glad you asked that. See, most of the time people will just skip right over the simple, which is profound. And she asked, how do you do that? How do you get Christ in you? You know, I have a phrase. It's called surrender to victory. And what it really means is, it's nothing you have to do. It's something that you have to become. In other words, just trust. Trust Him. And the Holy Spirit will help you. He will put you in situations. But God has the plan. You just follow it. Whatever happens, you follow it. And out of that, you'll find that He'll meet your need. You'll find that He really does care. And when those revelations start coming, then an affection starts coming. And in that affection is the pathway to a manifestation of the Lord in our life. But you got to trust Him. And that's what, you can't do it, but ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will empower you in the inner person. And He'll show you in the way that you understand how to go on. Because that's what He wants. So it would be silly of Him to want it and then not provide a way. But it is a maturing process, and sometimes it takes a little while. But I'll tell you what, when you live under the banner of Christ, when He's not way up there, but He's a whisper away in your heart, it's a whole different thing. Keeps you concerned about what you're watching on TV too, doesn't it? Everything you're watching, He's watching. Verse 16 of John chapter 15. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, how do you bring forth fruit? There's only one way to bring forth fruit: Christ in you. So it's not the things you do. You know, all the time I'm having to deal with Christians that say, you know, I know God wants me to bring more fruit in, you know. And what they're thinking is things to do or get more people saved or all of that, not realizing that's always consequential. See, people come to eat the fruit. They come, when they see something good, they know it's good, and they'll come to it. So as you begin to be transformed into the image, loving, thinking no evil, not getting offended, all of those things begin to fall away from you. And that's a real, you know, that's a real manifestation to this world. They don't understand that. You know, they look at Gina and I mean, here we are, you know, her taking chemo and me, you know, getting ready to face, you know, a very risky another transplant. And you come around our house, you won't hear whining and complaining. What you'll hear is, you know, that we thank God for the day. Every day. But that came because we got crushed. And we found that the life that He would build back in us was better than before. But I couldn't know that until the Master's hand started applying the water of the Spirit into the dust of the crushing to create a vessel of honor. So if that's the only way to do it, hallelujah. He says, he finished saying that that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, that's nature, by the way. Name is nature, means the overall content of the person. That means in this case that you're asking it from Christ. You are, this is Him asking it through you. He may give it you. Questions? By the way, you can take it off in a different direction. I always believe that the body, again, all has its parts. I just haven't figured out how in this kind of an environment to get the parts, you know, active and sharing.
Do you believe that people have to be crushed in order?
I believe that they're the answer is that you got to die. Okay? Crushing was necessary for me, not for Gina, but for me, because of the ego that I had, because of the self-made, you know, nature, and even the pastoral stuff that just had to, you know, it all had to be killed out. But many people die to self, I believe, in a revelatory way. They can have an experience, an epiphany. They can have whatever. But it's real if at the end of it, you really are satisfied with Christ. In other words, you really are wanting to edify others. You really are wanting to fellowship. You really do love the Word. You really do all of those things. That was good. Thank you for the question. More questions?
How do you know when the crushing is ending?
How do I know when the crushing is what?
Ending.
Ending. I don't know. Mine hadn't ended yet. I see, that's part of, you just come to a place where He says all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So there just comes a place where all you can do is not, you don't look at this as something you do, you're just trying to get through. It becomes part of a work in progress between you and Him, and a trust that whatever pain comes, you will return fivefold, both, you know, here in this world and in the world to come. And so you live in the now. It's now, that's tough stuff. I mean, you know, for especially somebody that you know, hasn't heard this kind of stuff. But right now, I can only tell mature Christians that, you know, I don't know how God's going to do it for you, but I do know one thing. It will only be done if you can learn to live in the now. If you're going to let scenarios of the future occupy your time, then what you're doing is calling down wrath on your own head. You know, You got to turn it off. And the only way to turn it off is to draw back to now.
I'd like to maybe give her a response that I lived through a few years back.
Is anybody else hot? I'm actually
hot.
You're
being overheated. That's God. My grandson, who had just had a major problem with his body, had to have a complete hip replacement at 25 years old. Well, obviously, there was a major issue going on. How is he going to be able to survive? Because there was an application for disability, but you know, it takes forever. And all these things were confronting and coming to a head. They had been living in their own apartment. They were very happy where they were, and it was like, okay, now what do? We have to go forward, and there's no way that there's no money coming in, so how do you survive?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I already had my mom living with me and my wife, and we're not exactly 30. We have a great-granddaughter that now had a need. And so my wife and I made a decision to liberate the second floor of our home and let them move in upstairs. And, you know, there's darkness that always brings back memories. Anybody can know about when you're facing a test, there's always memories.
That's what I said. The now means not only
right.
Not the future.
That's why I'm relating.
Yeah, the past.
So the memories were of his childhood with me and how he was very apt to leave all his stuff hanging around, never picking up after himself, being a comedian, and now he was full of pain, full of medication, and no answers as to when the meds would stop or the, let's say, the difficulties would continue. So I made up my mind that I was going to go through this test with joy. Now, how do you do that? It's a decision, like you said, to live every moment for the moment. Now, they were with us for 18 months. That meant 3 extra in the house. That meant a lot of extra work for both my wife and I. And we made that decision not to complain on any aspect but to serve. They didn't wash dishes, they didn't wipe dishes, they didn't do laundry, they didn't do ironing, they didn't do any of those things because they couldn't some of the time. And we had to do it all, not only for those 3, but for my mom as well, who was 90. When I learned that the end was coming, there was a joy as I would pick up the dirty laundry and go downstairs and begin to wash and iron and dry, because my wife was still working, and so was I. When that joy was in it for me, I knew the test was almost done. When you ask me when is it done, it's when there's a joy in serving. Now, was he still hurting? Yes. He was drug addicted by the time that he got done. He had to go to rehab, so it didn't get any easier. But there was a choice we made. And that choice was to continue to operate in what God had given us to do. And it was to take care of them. Now, there was one aspect of that joy that was in me that began to radiate to them. The end result was that a few years later, they have now chosen to go to the Lord. They have chosen to go to church, not here, but to go to church. And that's an answer to prayer. Now, if I would have continued my harassment that I used to do when he was a teenager and when he was in his early 20s, what would have happened to me? Tell me if I would have passed the test. Or would I still be in the test? Or would there be another test coming? You can answer any one of those the way you want. But I wanted you to know there is a time when you know in your heart that there's a joy in serving. And there's a joy in giving of yourself. And it's no longer you looking at how bad you look or how ugly you feel, but how wonderful it is to serve. And that's where it's at. And I'm not proud of me. I know that it was the Lord in me that did it, because every day I said, please help me, Lord, because I don't feel like doing this. And sometimes my energy levels were way down.
Pass me notes.
Yeah?
I have to share that I had a dream and you touched me last night and I was laughing with joy. And I'm like, so maybe I think my test is over.
Your test is coming to an end? Praise God.
Let me lay a foundation of one thing that I haven't made clear. Because I've talked about just trusting God and living in the now. That doesn't mean I'm inactive.
Right.
I'm a responder, not an initiator. All my life I've been an initiator. Okay. Started companies, started organizations, everything. But I'm not anymore. It's not even in me to do that. But when anything comes to me in this now environment, I have to reckon it as God. And that means that I give it its due course. You know, what are you doing, Lord, in this? And I think if you look, you will find the Lord in it. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody, because this is always comes up. It may not be God for you to walk it out, but it is. You have to honor it at least in terms of it could be God, you know, or it could be leading to something else. Most of the time, we're so busy in the future or distracted that there's no door for the Lord just to bring something in, and you account it as Him. Most of the time, we either can see it only in what it will provide for us, or as a distraction. And I've taken the position, and people say, "Don't you miss it?" Well, I do, but I serve a God of my calamity, so He always makes it right. I can't lose. But the one thing that it also does do, by responding that way, I don't have to go through the confusion that, I don't want to say most of you, but probably most of you and most of the church go through all the time. Is this of God? Is that of God? Should I do this? Did I miss it here? You know, that's the thing I hear about most. And it's so hard to explain to somebody when they're in that position that You're asking the wrong questions. The real question is, are you in Him and Him in you? And if so, then the world is right after that. And if you miss it, it's not a miss, it's a delay. You know? It's coming back around. Remember, I will tell you, though, you have to look at yourself and see if what you're doing is for self-gratification. And it may look like a good thing, but if you'll open to the Holy Spirit to listen, He'll tell you when it's, yeah, it may look good, but the root of this thing is evil. For example, you hear that women had their loved ones returned or resurrected back to life, but others, being tortured, refused deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. And you know, that just don't make sense, you know, to our natural minds. It's not until you see with the spiritual eyes that person, those people that refused to be delivered, had to have this knowledge, had to have this revelation, and realize that, God, you're in control. You know? And if you've decided to take somebody to the other side of the veil, that, you know, I got a feeling. I've never raised anybody from the dead, but I got a feeling that most people who get raised from the dead aren't real happy about it. So, be an interesting topic. So, this is a lifestyle. It's a change, but it's a Christ-centered. Everything is Christ. Christ is everything. Everything. Gina and I, our relationship is such that we've had a more difficulty on, like I said, I'm always transparent because of the tribulations that we've had and the drugs we've had to take, so we've been on edge more than we ever have, but we still have never argued. And we've been married 32 years, we've never argued. And here's why. Because 32 years ago, the Lord, a pastor shared something with us that we both witnessed, and that was, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you got a problem with Gina, take it to Jesus. And I think I've told my testimony on how I was traveling all around the world, was wealthy, doing the things that I wanted to do, you know, renting sports cars and skiing in the Alps and running to Australia and whatever, just whatever I wanted to do. Now, most wives that are raising three kids, it's bad enough I have to go for work, but to go for this too. Well, so she had a problem, but she didn't say anything to me. She got some of the other women of the church, and they started a prayer group. And all of, you know, and then pretty soon, it's like, man, this is boring. You know, and I could fly first class, because I flew so much. I could always fly first class. But it's like, this is boring. I don't drink, so, you know, it's not... And then all of a sudden it was more than boring, it was laborious. It's like, oh, I got to get my stuff, I got to get the plane, I got to get over to the motel, I got to, you know. And it was, well, without getting into the details, it was in Lake Tahoe that it all came to an end, standing there in the middle of all the one-armed bandits and stuff like that, when the Lord spoke to me and said, okay, choose this day who you'll serve. You got both of them right here. You got both of them. Which one do you want? Me or this? And so when I went upstairs and called Gina to let her know that I have repented of my ways, I see the selfishness, I see all that. And she's on the other side of the phone going, yeah. And then, of course, calling all the other girls up. But do you see? God is much more efficient at changing me than she would be. And I found the same thing. I mean, there were times where, guys, you can appreciate it, you know, where you want to be intimate with your wife or whatever, but they're not in the mood or however that goes. But I'm just saying that it's been a while or whatever. But, you know, God's cares about even those things. I even take those things to Him. And it saves us from a lot of counts. That's why I say it's got to be Jesus. Jesus in all of it. And I don't mean things like, Lord, what should I wear today? I mean, some people try to act so spiritual that they're really claiming that they don't do anything without the Lord telling them. Well, what would you do if you were faced with this situation? The Lord tells you to open a coffee shop. And you say, okay, maybe I'll think about it. Because that's a lot of money. So you keep going by this place and you keep hearing this. So finally you say, okay, Lord, if you are really in this, and this is of you, I'm putting a fleece out. I'll drive up there. If the owner of the shopping center is standing there in the parking lot, and I've never seen him at the place, then I'll talk to him about it and go from there. I mean, it was no surprise, pulling in the entrance, you know, there he was over, there's a grocery store in the thing too, that he was straightening up some of the carts. Okay? And we made a Christian coffee shop. Of course, one of the problems was I let the Christians build it, but to make a long story short, I lost $120,000 on that. Now, what would you do with that? Would you say, did I miss it? No. We stepped out of it in perfect peace, and it wasn't long for God replaced the money through something else. So it's in this Christ-centered life, you don't lose, you only gain. But it's God's gaining, not your gaining. And He knows the long term, and His ways are not our ways. But if we'll quiet down and spend a little more quiet time with Him and stay in the now, He begins to reveal Himself in fresh new ways. But I do what you want to, but I'm not a big fan because I was there. I mean, I had the Lord that would speak to me for a year before I did the book. I mean, literally have conversations. He told me I was going to go pray for President Clinton. And I was stupid enough to tell everybody that in the church. They thought they were going to put me in a straitjacket. But on the National Day of Prayer, 1996, I had my hands on President Clinton and tears in his eyes, and I was praying in the Spirit over him. Long series of circumstances that God did it. I didn't even do any of it. He put it all together. So, I mean, this is an exciting life, too, in Christ. He's just been waiting for vessels that He can really begin to interact with the things that He wants to do. But we're talking a lot of power here, folks. I mean, the manifest sons of God, He says, greater things shall they do. Okay? He's been giving that to people that are still having to deal with, you know, their dirty laundry. That's why He's doing this. It's an act of love. He wants you to step into this, but He also knows that He's got to prepare you. You can't prepare you. He's got to prepare you. Question? My prayer coming in here tonight is to give you a life-changing message. And I hope for some of you, what we're talking about will be life-changing. Because I don't know about you, but I am tired of chasing shadows. You know, I'm tired of waiting for the next new gold teeth or diamonds falling or whatever. That we seek them out because there's no real destiny that's being expressed out there today. What we got is just a bunch of fragmented ministries, all dealing in enormous self-interest and self-promotion. We have individuals that are truly, I would have to say, like Paul, I couldn't tell them anything because they're carnal, you know. One thing is, I know quite a few of the people of report, and some of them are quite carnal. So what do they do? They do carnal things, but with a religious banner. I heard one well-known evangelist say one time, he says, you know, I sure would like to see Greece and Italy. And all those things and stuff like that. They're over there. He says, I think I'll get on the phone and see if I can't work up some meetings over there. I don't know about you, but I felt that was the wrong way to go about deciding on where you're going to go and what you're going to do. I've been there, so I know it. I've been there, I confess it. But when you get this exciting Christ life going, he says, you can do anything with me in you. And you got to expect the next level to start manifesting. But it only happens as you make Christ your all in all. And as I've said, that comes by living in the now, preferring your brethren, and seeing every offense or anxiety or depression or any of these as what they really are. And that is unbelief. So, that's, and I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad, because it, once you know what the problem is, you know what the cure is. You know? If, then what do? If you want more faith? You ask. I'm not telling you how he's going to give it to you. Because, one, I don't know, and two, you may not want to either. But you know the problem. We know the solution. There's so many of you got stuff to say. What? Comments?
I want to get back to the gambling bit. So did you go to Gamblers Anonymous, or you just made a phone call?
No. I'm totally open about it. I was pretty wealthy at that time, so yeah. I would walk around with $5,000 or $10,000 cash on me all the time. So when I went to when I went out either to Vegas or are you familiar with Adobe Systems, the software company?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they were my partner, so every meeting was held in Mountain View. And that would give me the weekend, so I'd run up to Tahoe, and I'd gamble. But for me, it was play money, you know. It was, I'd set aside $5,000, and when I lost it, then that was it. I'd go eat the free buffets, and it was.
I've been there where you're at. Still a challenge I still have.
Really?
You know? Yeah, I pray a lot to help me with it. You know.
But, well, it's.
But I was out, the reason you called me, because my brother lives in Tahoe, I mean Reno, and I was out there a couple of years, and you know, and gambling and stuff. But anyways.
Well, we'll pray for. I'll pray for you before you leave. I'll pray for you.
Appreciate it.
Because it was like from that moment forward, I had no desire. When I chose him, there was like no desire left. I don't think I've ever touched a machine since then. But I lost so much money that I was not a whale, but they had given me high roller status.
Right, yeah.
I mean, see, that's the way you...
Yeah, you
just have to lose enough money and then they love you.
Just to use the gambling, one thing I always wondered is that if someone had actually wanted to gamble, had them to put aside, and you know, you wanted the least wager. We thought two things: if you went and said to the stock market, of course, it would help the country because you're supporting the country. But at least, unlike casinos, you're aware of the odds are against you. The odds are, you know, the house. At least in the stock, it's 50-50. Go either way, you just don't want it to happen. I mean, you gamble and bought stock, and you know, $5,000 in Microsoft 1980. Boy, that would have been the biggest gamble you'd have. What one had.
Well, and I knew those guys. I mean, I knew Paul Brainerd, who was on my advisory committee. I spoke at Siebold every year. I founded the International Digital Association, IDEA, which ended up with 500 members worldwide, 3M, DuPont, all of that. So, yeah, I could have done that, but you're missing the point. This was all self-gratification. Had nothing to do with, I mean, I didn't even care that I lost. because I just have the same amount next week. So it was, you know, and sometimes instead of doing that, I would, you know, I would go and rent a boat and go out on Tahoe. It was, the whole issue is I was trying to fill a hole that wasn't going to be filled until Christ filled it.
You were doing the me, myself, and I.
Yep.
That we've been hearing a lot about lately. and I understand what you're saying, though.
Well, you just got to, it's in the relationship with Christ, all of these things fall away. So it's not, you know, a 10-step program or anything like that. And if you went out and gambled tomorrow, you know, there is no condemnation. What you have to focus on to really get this is your relationship with Christ, because He transforms. I mean, the times it's like I was a smoker, and told the Lord I wasn't going to smoke any more cigarettes. And then on the way to take the kids to school, that's my take your pill thing. But on the way to school, I stopped, bought a pack of cigarettes, and threw them all out but one. You know, I was just going to have just one. And I said to the Lord, even before I lit it up, I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me with this thing. I know I made the commitment. There's got to be something more. I lit it up. Golly, it was the worst tasting thing I'd ever had. And it's like, there's no, I don't ever want to smoke. This is terrible. So that comes from keeping Christ in the center. Now, you hear a lot of people say they asked and they didn't get, or they wanted and it didn't show up. You've got to remember that God sees the heart.
The nature. You just spoke about the nature.
Right, the nature. You've got to ask from that relationship. If you have no relationship, sure, pray. And out of mercy, He can do anything.
Yeah.
But if you want to get to that place of a walking assurance, then you live in that relationship. And then that same thing is true for all things. You know, I have, Gina hates when I say this, I have a, you know those radar things that for speeding and stuff like that? Yeah, I got one, and it's called the Holy Spirit. and every time, I mean, even if I forgot and I'm doing 15 over and here comes a car, with the thing on, I know that I would be busted. I just say, Lord, protect me. Now, that seems silly, and why would I want to do that? Because I was breaking the law. Well, I wasn't intentionally breaking the law. And from that day forward, this has been 10 years, Gina hates it because she just hates to see me, she says, use God in that way. Because they've never turned around. Never even noticed it's like stealth. And I try to, you know, I told Gina, as I tell you, it's not so much that. You can pick on that. But everything of my life is to be about Christ. He says, cast all your concerns to Him. Well, that was a concern. And
but if you got pulled over for going that 15 miles over the speed limit, would you?
Well, then I'd start witnessing to the cop. It's still a Christ-centered thing.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All things work together for good.
Exactly. You got to believe God's in that, and there's a purpose there.
I thought you were going to tell me you knew the DA and you were rolling. Yeah. If one didn't work, the other one would.
No, I got pulled over once and I asked him to forgive me. I'm like, I just came out of my mouth. I'm like, forgive me. felt guilty, and I couldn't lie, and he let me go.
See, there you go.
I was over the speed limit, pulled over, waited for him to show up, the cop, and he goes, "You pulled over and waited for me?" I said, "I know I was going over the speed limit. I don't have time to give you my license. Don't have time to give you my registration. I have to make it to my college graduation. Could you please give me the ticket and let me get out of here?" And the cop looked at my mother and looked at me. He said, "What did she say?" Because I was talking so fast. And she says, "She actually told you she's going to her college graduation. Could you please give her the ticket? She's not taking the time to give you her license or registration. Just give her the ticket." And he says, "Is she telling the truth?" And my mother goes, "Well, she can't make this up. Her gown's right there with the cap and everything." And he goes, "Just get out of here."
Well,
but I did wait for him. I didn't make him have to chase me.
So, well, favor, God's favor.
Mm-hmm.
As we begin to exude more of His love, which is His presence, others, whether they know it or not, are impacted by it. And the universe, there's a pattern to the universe. Now, it fell away with sin, but it is reestablished in Christ. Mm. So that's why we're headed back to the garden. When this earth is filled with His glory as the waters that cover the sea, then the pattern is going to be reimposed upon this world and upon all that are in it. I'm the type that I just got nothing but good to say about, you know, where we're going. I mean, I've studied the millennium. And see, I just see nothing but good. You know? Sure, the wicked are going to be removed. I mean, that's nothing I can do about that, but that has to happen. You know, the Israelites were supposed to get rid of those in the land, and what happened, since they didn't, it became a major, major problem that they never really got to fully inherit. Well, you know, I can't bemoan the fact that people that reject Christ will be removed. Now, in my feeling, they'll be annihilated. Others say put in a burning hell. But he says in 2 Thessalonians, with destruction. So, I'm not going to worry about that. My calling is to the elect, to encourage them. Say, come on. We need it right now. Now's the time. Begin to exercise your faith. Begin to test God some. Begin to live in that. Put notes up if you got to. You know, don't let your mind work against you.
I didn't think we were supposed to test God.
Oh, yeah. He says, Malachi, test me. Now, I'll read it to you. But now, it's a good thing. When he's saying test, he's saying test in a way that at the end of it, you'll know that I am that I'm faithful. He says in Malachi, I have so many things.
Like 3:10 or something.
3:10? Yeah. Bring ye all the tithes, that means of our life, of everything, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Now, his house is us. And prove me now. Prove me. Test me. Prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I mean, that's good stuff. Of course, the part that we don't like to hear is the other part where it says that he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger," that's you guys, "and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." That's us. "And even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, which is Christ, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his appearing? And who shall stand or endure when he appeareth? For he," now this is he's answering now why it's difficult. "For he is like the refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purify the silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold is purged." And that's a process. If you've ever done silver, use a dross cloth and heat it some more, and then use a dross cloth and heat it some more. You can't do it too fast, but you have to continue to do it to get it to the place that it's a mirror. So, I've made him a seat at my table as the refiner. No reason to fight it. Might as well just embrace it. Any more questions? I'd go on all night.
You mentioned John 15, verse 16. "Whatsoever you shall ask."
This isn't about just using the name. Name is the nature. In the Greek, name is nature. I mean, it doesn't. I know a lot of people use that to say "in Jesus' name." No, he's saying through his nature, through who he is. That's why they had habits of changing their name when their nature changed. Saul became Paul because there was a nature change. But go ahead. I didn't get a chance to have you ask the question. Well, actually, it's him speaking through you for what he wants. When you get to that level of relationship, it's him speaking through you. He already has conditioned your heart that you'll want what it is he wants. And that's what's good about it.
So it's not a scripture for self-gratification.
It's so hard to deal with this faith movement, you know? It just lingers and lingers and lingers and lingers. And it is so... It works directly against everything Christ stands for. I mean, how do you get more money? How do you, you know? I sure do love the Copelands and all of them. But they have created so much confusion because they've created a generation that really believes that. That's where they're aiming. And they think they've fallen short if they pray for things and they don't happen.
So how do you know what to pray for?
Whatsoever concerns you, pray for. So, if it's been brought before you, pray for it. I am constantly, like sitting at the airport or something, I'm constantly just seeing people that God has kind of brought my attention to, and I claim them for the kingdom. You know? I just claim them for the kingdom. Because at some point, somebody's got to do that. I honestly believe that when it comes to certain ones, I mean, there's those that he's chosen, but we then, who are chosen, should be operating in a way that we're expanding the kingdom, bringing more sons into the kingdom. I don't think that he just walks around touching them with a magic wand. I think instead, as a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen anybody come in as a Christian by themselves. I mean, normally it's around the influence of somebody. You leaving?
What did you say?
Dave, what do you think?
Amen.
I haven't heard from this gentleman back here at all, but he definitely seems to have an awful lot going on.
I'm stuck in Philippians 4:8, if I remember that correctly, if I got the scripture right. Whatever you think on the good, the godly, the lovely, and out of your heart, that's what you're going to be. I know I don't get that scripture really exactly right, but think on those things, and that's what you're going to be. So as you're going through your day, or as you're going through your trials and tribulations and all that's happening in your life, as long as you keep coming back to that, as long as I keep coming back to that, then I just find Jesus in that. In each situation that I come into. Was I close?
Yeah, I mean, finally, brethren, well, before that it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is to the elect. By just saying that alone. So we know who the audience is. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, which in all these cases we're talking Christ, you know? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. For those that are after the Spirit, do mind the things of the Spirit.
It's easy to be into the other stuff, in the world.
Oh, yeah. Really carnally minded is death.
It's easy to find fault with everybody around the world. Especially the guy in front of me driving down the road. They won't get out of my way.
And I know that I'm speaking from my experiences that have been pretty harsh over the last 8 months. But I promise you, once you dedicate yourself to letting Christ come to the forefront, not just pulling him out when you need him, you know, let him be there, these things really won't have a pull on you. You know, I tend to get a good laugh out of a lot of it, you know, because It's like once you're not connected to it, it's kind of like a drunk, you know? I mean, you know, when everybody's drunk, I mean, it's like, you know, nobody seemed to be out of order and everybody having a good time. But then if you step into a crowd and you're the only one sober, everybody looks stupid, you know? Did you have anything?
think I've been on a kind of vacation from the Lord for the last 4 or 5 months. And so I'm trying to take in what you're saying and apply it, use it to embolden me to step back again into a place that I think I was and then abandoned.
Well, we got to be sure and get you my book. Because it will make a difference. It will make a difference. It's a book that wrote me. It is from the book of Revelation, but it is what it's supposed to be, the unveiling of Christ. Revelation, apocalypse, means unveiling. The removal of the veil. But in English ears, it means unknown or known mysteries or whatever. And it's just, that's the kind of thing. You know, when I wrote this, I used all kinds of lexicons and things because I spent almost 6,000 hours writing this book. And it wasn't until well into it when we were finally, when I was finally coming down, there were some things that just weren't clicking in my spirit. I mean, I read, reread. I would run complete exhaustive dictionaries on them. And there were just some things that just weren't quite working out. So I asked if anybody had a concordance that wasn't religious. You know, if anybody had a concordance that actually spoke to the Iliad and, you know, that time frame, conversational Greek in that time. And somebody sent me one. And all of a sudden, you know, the world opened up because not all of these things. For example, there was one thing that I came across that I was really having a hard time with, because it made all the lexicons I had and stuff, it made this a very negative statement. But when I went to the secular lexicon, it was shown to be an idiom. I mean, this was a phrase used, like we say, you know, fighting like cats and dogs or something like that. It wasn't quite that sophisticated, but it was a phrase used to make a point. And the point fit right in with what God was saying. And it was like, there it is. Now that makes it connect. And I hate to lift up the power of religion, but for 2,000 years it's been entrenching itself in our language, and it's like you open up a dictionary and you should first look and see who published it, you know, because that's going to be their orientation. I didn't need to get into all that. I just wanted you to know that some of these things in the book, the reason they are there is because that was the reality. For example, the way I found out about in the rapture, air, A-E-R, versus Orionos, which is the sky. If two Greeks were saying that, talking to each other and saying that we would be caught up, you know, on a cloud in the air, they would have had a vision of stepping into a cloud bank, because air is only 12 to 20 feet high. Mm-hmm. Orionos is the sky. So all the imagery. Think about that. All of the imagery used for meeting up into the sky and stuff like that is wrong. And you don't have to believe me. As a matter of fact, now I see that even Strong's has put it in there right. They call it lower, denser air. But let's not get confused with all the bull stuff. Let's stay on track with what this Christ-centered life. And so, does anybody have any questions on how to walk a Christ-centered life, or do you have suggestions? If you were told that if you really endured through your studies at stuff for a period of time, that they would make you president of the company, would that motivate you to work hard? You don't know? Well, let's just put it this way. I think that one of the problems that we have in the church is that we are not properly motivated. We're not hearing, we've got dull of hearing, we're not hearing the wonderful promises, the wonderful things he's laying out for those that will walk into this. Those that will suffer with him, will reign with him. Do you realize there are countless galaxies now? Now they're finding just, even to say a billion would be, or a billion billion. But the point is that there is so much to God. And it's also represented in the beauty of his creation. And how would you like to walk hand in hand with the creator of these billions of galaxies, who gave himself for us that we would have access to him? Not to mention to be a part of all the other things, the garden itself, the saints of old and new. So we get to say, yeah, that'd be nice. What do we do about it? Most of us, no. That's why I really hope that you work together. If you don't find someone else that's of like heart, and help each other with it. Set it, you know, for example, if you catch somebody else saying something ill about somebody else or about to tell you something, you know, just stop them like Gina does and say, do I need to hear this? You know? Or be willing, give people permission to speak into your life. That, you know, when you're operating outside of that Christ nature, that they can lift the flag for you and show you. And that, you know, you're not going to be offended by them doing that. And pray together that doesn't happen anymore. But, like I said, he'll take every footstep we take and he'll add five more to it. Okay?
Okay.
Didn't you make it to my second water?
How about that? I want to
put a little plate out there for you. In fact,
what you could do is you could put two out there, and then you could tell everybody that, you know, they have a choice when it comes to their giving. They could put it in one plate or the other.
That way, there you'll get both plates. There you go.
Well, there's no option not to give in that situation.
That's right. Okay, we'll do that.
You heard that. Actually, that was at Dale's. They did that at Dale's.
Dale's Mysteries, huh? Okay. Basically, we want to be able to bless our brother, and we're just going to ask you to just bow your heads. Father, without you, We usually do a lot of activity on our own. Tonight I would ask that you would speak to the hearts of these that you have brought here tonight to help us bless this man. I ask also, Lord, that you would just give them courage if there's a time of surrender and they want to receive prayer. We'd like to have that opportunity for you. So I'm going to put the plate over here on the altar. And if you are looking for prayer, find your way to this brother. And there will be also others that will be helpful if we have a desire for that. I want to remind you also that if you have a nudge to come in the morning, you're more than welcome. My brother will be back. And for that is 10 a.m. And just be aware that if you do have, you know, questions, I know my brother has a website. And
ThirdDayVoice.com. We're live Tuesday and Thursday nights.
You can check that out. There's many ways to learn about the one that we are serving. Are we perfect? No, I think we're being perfected. Have we made it? Well, we're in the kingdom. How's that? And there's progress going. And that's what we're looking for. And be aware, just by your obedience tonight, ask the Holy Spirit to bring clarity in your hearts as to what you've received. Sometimes it sits in our hearts a lot longer than it probably needs to, but if we ask the Lord to activate it, it'll come to life and it'll blossom. And then the Word will come to life for you and the Scriptures will become alive. And don't be afraid of the book. It's 15.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a nudge for the book,
more of
he's got a couple left. And we just want you to obey. Amen? In the meantime, could we have maybe a little bit of background music? And we'll offer prayer for those who have a need.